Welcome back to Motherload Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. On this weekend show, we're focusing on Resiliency Village and the local efforts that are being done in the community to address issues regarding disenfranchised residents and things like homelessness and trauma. We're pleased to be joined by a trio from the leadership group with Resiliency Village. We're joined in studio by Dr. Brenda Chapman, as well as Shelley Munoz and Aaron O'Hare. Shelley Munoz, I'll pose the next question to you. During the first segment, we were talking a little bit about the birth of the concept for Resiliency Village and the creation of a diagram. Can you elaborate a little bit more and touch on that a little bit more about how things kind of got to where they are today?
Sure. So when Mark and Brenda and I first sat down and started talking about this, as Brenda said, we literally had a large piece of paper on the wall where we sat down and started talking about if we could do anything we wanted to do, if with all of our experience that we've had, our combined experience, we could do whatever we wanted to do, what would it look like? And we literally got a pen and just started, you know, writing out all of our ideas, and it ended up being this large circular diagram with everything from the center of the program, which would be the combination of the traditional and non-traditional therapies, including office spaces for all of those things. We had we included, which is really important for our homeless folks, a place for their animals. We had a spiritual center. We had a restaurant, which is part of what Aaron was talking about, where we would actually do food preparation on site and be sustainable by bringing this, you know, that concept into play, where folks would work, we would create food, and also, you know, have people come to our site in that way as far as feeding people. We had a large shop where we could teach people work skills, which is also a big part of what we're doing is restoring the dignity of work through teaching skills on site. So this huge diagram with everything that, like I said, that we hope to achieve and hope to provide for the folks that not only live on site, but will come there for services as well.
The people who come to Resiliency Village for services, is there kind of an end game that you hope to see those people for those people?
There is, and we're actually really discussing all of those things now. We had a big work day yesterday, the board, to discuss different things like that, like intake and how it would look for people. We know that every person is individual, so it's really going to depend on the person. I mean, we see some people probably staying there for a very long period of time, maybe, you know, I mean, long term. Mm-hmm. And we see other people, depending on their healing and how they do, being able to transition out into the next step of housing. So it's going to be an individual process.
Are you still looking for volunteers in the community who can come in and teach various skills?
Absolutely. We have some right now that are ready to go as soon as we're ready to go. So we've got Sally Arnold, for one, who's ready to teach some classes for us, and several other people who have stepped up. We had the first time that we presented this at Martin Luther King Day over a year ago now, we had 150 volunteers that day of people who signed up to help. And it was everything from, you know, maybe a grandma who knew how to crochet that wanted to offer that skill, to doctors, to nurses and counselors. And it's been extraordinary, the community interest and involvement in this project.
How would you describe kind of the state of homelessness right now in Tuolumne County? What are the types of things you're noticing?
Oh my gosh, that we can't open our doors fast enough. It's heartbreaking. I mean, you know, there are so many people up here doing wonderful things. I think, of course, right away of Hazel and Dick Mitchell and all that they do with their program, and Lambert Center. There are so many people out there trying to help. And so ours is another step in this process, you know, where we're actually going to try to provide some housing. We're going to, like I said, try to provide these services for trauma healing on site. And every day we are meeting new people. We get phone calls every day from people who need our services right now. So,
Dr. Chapman, anything to add in regards to the state of homelessness locally?
Yeah. I think we've all seen what the point in time survey showed last January about the amount of homeless people who were counted on, was that January 23rd, I think. And that number was people who were just currently unsheltered and people who self-reported. When we look at the children in schools that are part of the McKinney-Vento count, that number doubles. And when you think about that each one of those children has at least one parent, then we again add to those numbers. So the level of homelessness in our county is pretty substantial. If we look at per capita in our, if we just count the number of homeless, per capita, we are on an equal par with San Francisco in our level of homelessness in Tuolumne County.
So the level is definitely high here locally.
Yes. It's very high. It's probably closer to 1,000.
Do you know at this point in time with the state's efforts to try to help the homelessness issue, is there any chance that, you know, state funding could potentially be available down the road? Do you know at this point?
The process of that is that when federal money comes, when federal money is earmarked for homelessness, that money comes through the state. The state money goes through the county, and the county money goes through the continuum of care, which is a group that is, every county must have a continuum of care. Tuolumne County participates with several other counties. And so the direction that that money goes depends on the needs that are presented to the continuum of care. And then that group decides where those funds flow.
And then it was referenced earlier, a tiny house at one point in time. Can you explain a little bit about what the tiny house is? And you have one of those already, correct?
We do have a tiny house. We have a model tiny house. I was fortunate enough to visit some homeless villages in Oregon as well as in Texas. And so when we decided on what our tiny house was going to look like, we decided that in order to restore the dignity, Shelley talked about the dignity of work, just the dignity of living, we decided that our tiny house needed to be a little bigger. So the ones I saw were about 114 square feet. This one is 200 square feet. It has electricity. It has bathroom, a shower, sink, a two-burner stove, a refrigerator. So all everything that a person would need in order to live comfortably. There are two lofts in it for sleeping. There's a futon bed that builds down. And there'll also be heating and air conditioning. So we decided that the homeless population really deserved to have a full house. They don't need a lot of space, but they certainly do need to have all the we would just call them the comforts of home, I guess.
Right.
And Shelley Munoz?
And just to add to that, too, we were also really proud of what these little houses look like. Mm-hmm. Something that's really important to us is that Tuolumne County is proud of Resiliency Village and what this place looks like. They're not going to be little tiny plywood shacks on the hill. These are going to be beautiful little homes that are very well maintained. That's another piece of dignity is that these people are going to buy in. The people that live on site will buy into taking care of their places and taking care of the property and all of those things. It's all going to be a piece of what we're doing. So they're I mean, Brenda looks at me every time I say cute, but they're cute. I mean, they're very cute. The houses are just going to be sweet, and our idea is that once people see the model, that community will buy in, and say if a contractor or a business wants to sponsor a tiny house, then they'll be able to create one after the model that we have. They'll all be a little bit unique. We'll have, you know, a color palette and all of those kinds of things so that it looks really nice again on our site. But that everybody will be able to put their own creativity into designing these little tiny houses, and then the person that sponsors it will actually get a nameplate on the tiny house. you know, showing that they actually did sponsor and build that tiny house. So that's kind of a piece of what we're looking at as well.
And they would be at various places along the Resiliency Village on the property?
There's a one site where we're going to, on the property, where there's a where we're going to have the actual tiny house portion of Resiliency Village.
And then the first one that was constructed, was that thanks to community donations coming in?
It sure was, yes. We had one amazing donor that gave us the money for our start, for our first tiny house model.
We need to take one more break. We're talking about Resiliency Village on this weekend's Motherlode Views. We're joined in studio by some of the leadership members with Resiliency Village. We have the Secretary and Treasurer, Shelley Munez, the President, Dr. Brenda Chapman, and a board member, Aaron O'Hare. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Our final segment is coming up in just a minute.